do hope that you also did get the draft report. We had promised that at least by Monday you should get it, and I hope you did. The agenda is on the screen. Today, maybe the main thing will be the draft report, which we should go through and then get it adopted by tomorrow. So we are ready to present it to the House on Thursday. With respect to apologies, I have for now three Honorable Kwankwa will not be able to attend due to attending the meeting of the Finance Committee. Honorable Matlopa won't be able to attend. Her daughter is not feeling well, taking her to a doctor. Honorable Manana is also not feeling well, consulting a doctor. Those are the three. Anything that I may not be aware of, Honorable McLaughlin?
Thank you, Chair. Just to note that the Honorable Fig is running late. He's on his way, but he'll be a little bit late. Thank you.
Honorable Fig is running late. Any other apologies? Welcome, Honorable Sheikh Imam. We'll meet you. Okay. I suggest that we then, having welcomed you, let's dispense with the minutes so that we can spend more time on the report. We have two sets. First, it was on the 3rd of March. Any correction on this minutes? If none, who moves adoption? Honorable Brother moves for adoption. Any seconder? Honorable Nyalunga seconds. So the meeting minutes of the 3rd are duly adopted. Then there's a set of minutes of the 4th of March. Any correction on those? None. Any mover? The minutes of the 4th of March. Honorable Twalaza moves. Any seconder? For those minutes. Any seconder? Honorable McLaughlin seconds. The minutes are therefore adopted. Honorable members, as I said, we will go through the report like we did last time. Tempo will present the section of pages. Okay, we'll go through page by page. You may want to make some few remarks before you start on some of the issues that are in the public interest, and then go page by page, and then at the end we'll then allow the team to go and effect changes and corrections as the committee would have suggested. We will then tomorrow then come back to adopt the final report. In terms of the order paper, I think time has been put aside for the debate for only 10 minutes, not 94 minutes, I think. If there is a changes, we'll let you know by tomorrow, but for now we can prepare for the debate on Thursday, because that's the day we adopt the division of revenue. So we will allow, because the debate allow
members to express their views on the budget, other than just the House adopting the report. If the presiding officers change the program that there is no debate, I will then present the report for adoption by the House. But otherwise, if there is a debate, then all parties will have an opportunity to express their views on the division of revenue bill before it's adopted by the House. Thank you very much, Honourable Members, and welcome. We are intending to complete this meeting at 1, before 1 if we finish early, but the latest is 1. Okay, Sato, you are going to take us through the report. The floor is yours. Honourable members should feel free where you don't hear properly, want to intervene, but ideally let's allow him to finish a page, then we deal with that page, then go to the next, and that way.
Okay. Thanks so much, Chairperson. Good morning, Honourable Members. Good morning, colleagues. Before I begin with the actual report itself, I'd just like to share with the committee. Yesterday evening, actually, I was quite happy with the news that I got to hear on the news that the rating agencies have actually decided to maintain the outlook for the economy as stable, which gives us space to breathe, especially for us as a committee in terms of the finances to get it in order, and actually for oversight to be seen in action. And with a stable outlook, for at least the next 2 years, the sovereign credit rating will remain just above the junk status. So those are just the opening remarks. And in terms of the report itself, what I will do, I will just highlight important points for each paragraph, and then at the end of the page, I will pause for the committee to make the comments on it. I will begin now. On page 1, we have the introduction, and what it entails is that the Standing Commission on Appropriations, where it derives its mandate in terms of considering and processing the Division of Revenue Bill, guided by the Constitution, the PRMA, and the Money Bills Act. And it also states that we did receive submissions and we did conduct public hearings. PBO was present, the Financial and Fiscal Commission also did a presentation, and the South African Local Government Association. So that it was included in introduction, heading 1. Going to heading 2, allocations of the Division of Revenue Bill for the 2050 medium-term expenditure framework. The next few paragraphs will essentially give context within which the Division of Revenue Bill was tabled. The first point that addressed there is the 9-point plan as laid out by the President of the Republic during the tabling of the State of the Nation address on the 12th of February. And critical there, of course, which we all agree to, is resolving the energy challenge, which is number one there. And then there's agriculture, there's mineral wealth as well, and of course, encouraging private investment. And that concludes page 1.
Yes,
sir.
You can, yes.
Yeah. On paragraph 2, the President of the Republic of South Africa, J.G. Zuma, in the state of Niger, think it is professional to say always after, before a president, His Excellency, J.G. Zuma. It's standard. Just like saying the chairperson, Honorable Mukherjee.
Okay, that's agreed. Anything on that page? It's really introductory remarks and saying what is the focus of the bill. Should we move to page 2? Agreed. Page 2. Honorable Fit, welcome. We did get your apology. Lucky we just started. Well, page 1. You didn't lose much. Page 2.
Thanks, Chairperson. On page 2, the first paragraph basically speaks to the fact that the 2015 budget proposals speak to the policy priority contained in the NDP and also in the medium-term strategic framework, which identify the key actions required to implement the NDP. Going on to the second paragraph, the most important point there is that when the minister tabled the budget, he stated that economic growth has been revised down for the first consecutive year and it is likely to remain below 3% over the next 2 years. So that is a very important point indeed. And then going further down the same paragraph, the budget asserts that while fiscal policy has supported the economy for the past 7 years, this countercyclical approach has reached its limits. So that is what the essential challenge of the committee is in its oversight agenda for the next coming years. And then the third point below the paragraph speaks to some of the proposals and changes that were effected in the budget. The first one speaks to a reduction by 25 billion in the next coming two years, and which has been applied proportionately across the 3 years of government. The second one speaks to the increase in tax rates, which has resulted in additional revenue. And the third bullet, which is actually also very important for our committee in particular, is the strengthening of budget preparation expenditure controls to improve efficiency. And they also speak to personnel numbers and also the financing of state-owned companies, such that they do not increase the government's budget deficit. Going on to the following paragraph.
Thank you, Chair. If I may, I think it would be more accurate for us in the second paragraph to say that the growth should remain below 2.5%, 2.5, not 3%, because we've had no mention of any rate above 2.5%. I think this is being the optimistic report what's reflected in the budget that I see. Then further on, just to grant something counter-cyclical, I don't think it's one word. I think it needs a hyphen.
The growth rate would remain below
2.5% would be my proposal, yes, sir. And then the word countercyclical. The first bullet point, I think, is a bit misleading. We're not reducing the expenditure ceiling by 10 billion. We're reducing the potential expenditure. So give the impression that we're reducing expenditure. We're not. We're reducing the potential growth in expenditure. So the proposed growth is what we're reducing, not reducing actually expenditure. The expenditure will increase, but it's not going to increase by as much as it would have. But unless we just say something along the lines of reduce the potential expenditure seed, or would that affect it to make it a little bit misleading than it looks at the moment? And then in the last bullet point, Chair, to say ensure that the financing of state-owned companies does not increase national government budget deficit. I don't think the budget can actually do that. There's been an attempt to limit it, but it can't ensure that it's not going to do it. I think we should reflect that as well. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, so we will need to look at the first one is that we are not reducing expenditure, but it's really the growth of that. Because there's been a lot of confusion in the media about that, so we need to phrase it properly. The National Treasury is here, they can also help with the phrasing of this, so that people understand that the expenditure over the MTF is still growing, but it is the rate of growth that is being pulled down by those amounts over the MTF. So we can just phrase that. At some point, fine.
Okay,
the last one is fine. It's what the minister said is that there's a term that he used, try to remember it, that's of the stable companies. I can't remember. We'll find it in the budget. But the explanation is define that the financing of state oil companies must be such that they don't burden the fiscus. I think that's the message. We will find them.
Now, thank Chairperson, and thank.
I'll still give members an opportunity on this page.
Okay.
I'm not done with it. Just
okay.
The Honourable Member wanted to add that to those. You can proceed.
Okay. Thanks, Chairperson. Thanks, Honourable McLaughlin. Okay. On the paragraph following the bullet points, the main point I highlighted there is that the second line, the 2015 budget provides that development finance institutions are expected to expand their loan books at 3% in order to support the economy. And the last line speaks to moving towards a less energy intensive path, and very important in the short term to ensure that there is predictability in the electricity supply. And then the last paragraph basically speaks to the principles that are contained within the Division of Revenue Bill. If you go to the last line, which is a long sentence there are a number of them, which, for example, national interest, provision of debt, national government interest, and the one that I particularly am very interested in is developmental needs. So, and when the trailer submitted the budget, they emphasize that as much as baseline returns has been accepted, but there has been some efforts to ensure that infrastructure investments are protected, and it is contained in the principles and also contained actually in the DORA itself, page 61 to page 63, that when considering development, you must make sure that there is allocation for infrastructure and that does actually grow in the medium term. And I'm at the end of page 2.
That paragraph takes you to page 3. I think just go up to the end of that section before 2.1.
Oh, okay,
we have
okay.
A proper discussion.
Yeah. Okay, no, it's okay.
Yeah, including the explanation of the table.
The first paragraph on page 3. It serves to underline some of the principles that the minister alluded to in his speech. And in particular, if you go to the fourth line, that all state and all sector partners must intensify efforts to address the economic constraints and growth performance and create work opportunities and broaden economic participation. And then going to the second paragraph, the Division of Revenue Bill,
just the most of the things that it says, I just go back to the country to retain the objectives of the national development plan, the state and all sector partners must intensify efforts to address economic constraints, etc. Shouldn't we list then that we must also limit the expenditure? It is part of the whole trust budget, is cost containment. That's not mentioned here, I believe it should be mentioned, it must be as thank you, Chair.
Cost containments. Okay. We will include that. So we've gone up to the end of that section. Can I allow okay, Ms. Natrizer wanted to alert us to something?
It's more difficult to reckon on the table with national within the
after
heading
one
comma,
then
one comma should become one footnote.
Okay. Sorry,
where
Wendy?
On title.
Yes.
And the next one is a footnote.
Yeah.
The footnote is one comma,
it should be
one.
It should be a full stop.
Yeah. You are
just okay. That's fine. Honourable members, anything on page 2? Other than the issue raised by Honourable McLaughlin, are we happy with the whole page up to the end of that section? I think Seppo just do that last paragraph there after the table.
Okay, that last paragraph speaks to the main budget allocations, and an important point to note there is that the main budget framework, which is actually the third sentence, provides for average annual growth of 8% in the main budget allocation for the three spheres of government in the next 3 years. And the 8% is significant because inflation is forecast for at least 2015 at 4.3% and 2016 5.9% and 2017 5%. So provided that outlook does not deteriorate significantly, at least these allocations I apologize.
Don't go to 2 points, man. I wanted to finish that sentence.
Okay.
I can see you are in 2.1. Honorable members, before we go to 2.1, anything there? Honorable McLeod.
Thank you, Chair. Just a grammatical point. In the third line of the paragraph below the table, it should read, the Division of Revenue proposals state that the most important. It's not state. It's either proposal states or proposals state. And I think because the proposal is plural, it should be proposal of the state. Yes, that's correct. Thank you, sir.
You are right. Anything there? Agreed. We got 2.1. All right. 2.1.
What's your intelligence, Chef? Even that we're considering the division of revenue for the first time, Schedule 1 to 7, I'll just quickly speak what does that mean. On the first paragraph above the table, it says that the division of revenue classifies schedules from Schedule 1 to Schedule 7. Okay. Schedule 1 is actually the table that is in front of us there, which is the division of revenue, the federal division of revenue among the three spheres of government. Schedule 2 speaks to the horizontal division of the provincial equitable share amongst the 9 provinces. Schedule 3 speaks to the local government equitable share amongst the 78 municipalities. Schedule 4 speaks to supplementary allocations to provinces which serve to complement the programs run by the provinces themselves. Schedule 5 speaks to specific purpose allocations, the transferring of transfers to provinces and municipalities, and the municipalities, local government run the projects themselves. Schedule 6,
it's not there. It's in the bill. I think you want to just alerting us that it's not captured, but what it is, what it is. Unless members want us to capture what they say, but I thought the report might be too long. Because some of the things appear in the budget review, in the, maybe what you may do is to do a reference there. So in division of revenue, class 5, schedule 1 up to 7, and in brackets, as it appears in. Will that be fine, Wendy, looking at me?
Can I keep the purpose? Maybe we can say the division of revenue classified from schedule 1 to 7, so we can maybe just put in brackets equitable share and conditional profit, so it actually clarifies it, in brackets. So then you don't have to explain.
You don't have to tabulate
that. But actually, thanks for taking it through, because I just picked up another technical correction that's needed. Table 1, it says equitable division. It actually refers to the, we must remove the equitable, because it's just referring to the division of national. The equitable division will refer to the equitable fee allocation. It also includes the conditional allocation. So
I thought the table was taken as it is from the heading is yours.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it was just a division of national revenue.
Yeah.
Okay. Counselor equitable there. And then the thing that the table is saying, we'll do a bracket as Wendy suggested, and we don't have to mention that. So you can listen. We will feel it that. Main budget allocation 2.1. Okay, one line before that.
Okay, Chairperson. Under 2.1, the point that I just wanted to highlight for the committee there, which is the third sentence, is that the main budget framework provides for average annual growth of 8% in the main budget allocation for the 3 years of government. So the 8% is significant given that the inflation outlook for 2050 at least is 4.3%, and for 2016 is 5.9%, and 2017 is 5.7%. So it means at least the 3 years of government should be able to absorb the increases in inflation in terms of expenditure. That's all.
You see what you're saying on the that line you just finished, that is significant.
Oh, okay.
It's not there. Is it there?
No, it's there, but it's the third sentence.
The main budget provides an average of rate five.
Of 8%. And then I'm emphasizing why it is important.
Yeah, but I'm saying what I mean that it's not there written.
Oh,
should it be there?
Yes, we can insert the charts include inflation rate, that's fine.
Okay. Because you said that it's important because inflation would be lower, etc., but you didn't write it.
Okay.
You were just saying it in your head. So I'm saying why don't you write it? Yeah. So in the final report, you must include it there. Okay. Honorable Ambassador, anything on that one? Should we go to the next page? Honorable Singh?
I noticed, I could see it from the presentation sent. I noticed that there are slight differences. It doesn't have a material effect on the presentation, on the report, sorry. But if I may just mention the 2.1, I noticed that there have been two decimal points dropped. Now, two decimal points dropped from trillion, it's a substantial amount of money. For example, if you look at the presentation, it's not going to happen again, but I noticed that, for example, in 2.1, it says 1.222, and 1.222, and in the presentation, we dropped it. So, the point I want you to make is that 0.222, if we drop to decimal point, it's billions of rand that we have.
My draft is different.
My only concern is the dropping of two decimal points in a large amount of trillion. It's a billion. If you drop two decimal points, then you drop in billion. So it's just the point that I would like to make. Especially we'll obviously be able to give us a better indication of where really the accepted norm.
My apologies to the committee and to the chairperson. The draft they actually received yesterday indeed has those three decimals. They will change after discussing whether they are representation number. That is the draft the eight decimal point. So I just must it in the morning before we open chat. Yeah.
Do we have a copy for Honorable Fix that is the same as mine?
Okay, I do have a hard copy now that is in the meeting. The point I want to make is in this perspective, because if you drop a decimal point or two, it doesn't really matter, but when you drop it from trillions of rand, then it is a substantial difference. And that's the point that I'm wanting to make, because you say it's 1.2, by dropping 2 points, it's 22 billion rand, you're not comparing, and that's just the point that I wanted to make. So the dropping of two decimal points is not the issue. It's because of the large amount.
It could be misunderstood. I think that if the report is read together with the division of revenue bill and the budget review, should be fine. So that when you say 1.2 trillion, you can refer to the division of revenue. Then you see the entire figure, you won't lose it. But let's think about that in terms of Fraser. I used to like doing the Runners MEC for Finance as well. If something is 1.456 billion, I'll just say 1.4 billion. but in the speech, but if you go to the report, the entire revenue bill, you'll find the entire figure. So it should be fine. Okay. We're done with page 3. Page 4.
Okay, just the table.
Okay, page 4 is the table that just shows the division of national rate revenue. It's in the bill, so we don't have to discuss it.
Thank you, person. The paragraph underneath the table because speaks to that the wage negotiations are underway, which is the second line there. And the fourth line, which speaks to goods and services, they grow at 5.1%, but very important is that critical items such as medicines grow faster than inflation. And the last line, which is quite important, is that payment for capital assets grow by 8.9% a year, and is the fastest growing category of expenditure apart from debt service. And then the last paragraph there just speaks to expenditure outcomes. So in 1.04 billion from an actually supposed to be trillion. Yes, from a adjusted appropriation of 1.1 trillion. And there was the same level of spending performance as in 2013, was only 0.6% underspend. And that is an improvement compared to the 1.1% underspend in 2011-12. And the main contributions to the under expenditure were infrastructure programs in health and education. And then the last line speaks to savings realized by SASA in the administration of social grants, which amount to 1.4 billion. And we begin with national allocations, and then in page 4.
For that, is that fine before we go to national allocations? No corrections there? Agreed? Fine, you can proceed. Point 2.2. The end of page 4.
Okay. For 2.2, the first line just speaks to the allocation for national departments, which is 522.9 billion rand, and this increases to 516.17. And the second line that speaks to the increase in indirect grants, which the members did raise concerns about. I'm moving on to page 5 now. Right on top there, 12.7 billion.
Oh, okay.
In the second line, it says departments from 523 billion, it's all one, there's no space between the 3 and the billion, there's space in there, so it's consistent with the rest. It looks like you've done it already very well. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. You've noted that. You are quick. Yes, Honorable.
It's another language, but we've got the 5.23 billion, and for consistency, using one decimal point should not be point
something. I don't know, if the something might be smaller than... If it's smaller than 5, it goes down. Yeah. Or you wanted to say 0.0? Yeah, okay, fine. I don't know what was the real figure there. You remember? That was... No, what was the full figure? It was 5.3.0.
Normally
you're on off. Oh, okay. It was initially 5.2.9, so you made it 5.3. Okay, fine. Agreed. National Treasury is happy. Okay. You don't like zero. Zero is nothing. Okay, Treasury says this is fine. Let's continue page 5.
Oh, 10%. On page 5, the very first line speaks to the indirect grants increase from 12.7 to 13.9. And the line after that just explains why this is important. The increase in funding for indirect grants is to allow national government to spend on behalf of other CF and ensure that service delivery takes place as the provinces and municipalities develop more institutional capacity. And then another important point right at the end of the paragraph, the DORA framework for indirect grants require that national departments submit skills transfer and capacity building plans and report on this. And it's noted for our own program data, that's fine. And then the paragraph after that, the 2015 budget includes the baseline expenditure reductions and the bullet underneath just list is where it is based on expenditure reductions occur. The first bullet point speaks to reductions in current spending by 2.3 billion in 2015-16 and 3.9, and these were mainly affected through the non-core goods and services. There were also reductions in capital spending, 280 million in 2015-16 and 911 million in 2016-17, mainly also on non-critical items. Also reductions in public entities and in transfers to provinces, and unconditional allocation to local government of 9.9 in 2015-16 and 1.4 billion in 2016-17. Very important, and right at the end, that no reductions were made to the local government equitable share. And then after the bullet there is a section in the budget review which I included there. I took it directly, which are the measures that the Treasury is adopting to ensure that cost containment does take place. Some of the measures include the first line that speaks to elevating the role of accounting officers as primary drivers in maximizing value. And also, the committee does note that primary instruction note is out, then they plan on expanding the limits of the instruction note to include. I find that primary instruction note limits on cost containment. And the chief accounting office will be establishing an e-signal portal for national and provincial use on April 2015 and for local government in July 2015. And also a very important measure which I hope will help, the national press referencing system, which is also to be rolled out in 1st of April. And then we can move on to provincial allocations. Okay.
Any comments so far? Are we okay? All right, we can move on to provincial allocation. Oh. Before that, Honorable Shopester.
Yeah, on a lighter note, on the first paragraph, I hope we're not supposing that there is more efficiency in the national departments than in the province, because some national departments are not performing to the level which we expect.
You got that impression from which paragraph? The first one.
Yeah. The thing that
we're getting. Okay. Okay. Noted. Honorable Fick.
Yes. And the last, the fifth paragraph of under bullet points, the accounting officers, these are the shouldn't become of the officers.
Where is that? The first paragraph.
Yeah, what is that? Other mission? Under the bullet points, the first sentence there.
Okay. Yeah.
The apostrophe, sorry. Okay.
The other measures to contain costs include ensuring that accounting officers. We don't need their apostrophe, that's what it is. Yeah. The accounting officers fulfill their roles here. You are our specialist. Yeah, what do you say? We don't need it. Yeah. But that would shake him up. They are made for his role. Brandy, they are made his roles. They are made. Okay, we move on to provincial allocations. It's just restating, really.
Oh, yes. Okay, yes. Thanks, Chen. The first paragraph speaks to the amounts that are allocated to pro versus in 2015-16, and then how this grows to in the end. For example, the last line, it says that 382 in 15-16 to 405.3 in 16-17 and reaches 428.9 in 17-18. And then the last paragraph, which is actually important, it speaks to what actually has changed now. There are two function shifts and a change to the National Test Laboratory Services. And for the NHLS in particular, the funding arrangement will change 1560 going forward. The first funding shift speaks to the FETs, which will be transferred from the province to the National Department of Higher Education. Therefore, the last line speaks to the total grant, which is 8.9 billion. And 7 billion from the equitable share are shifted to the National Department. And then the port health function, which will be transferred from province to the National Department of Health, which also results in 380 million from the provincial equitable share to the National Department budget over the 2015 MTEF. The funding arrangement for NHLS are being amended so that national functions for training and research are funded directly by the national department. And the treasury indicate, if you go to the last line of that paragraph, that an audit will be conducted after the first day to ensure that a change in revenue is needed for the provinces, which is how to see that they are not negatively affected.
Okay, provincial allocation from page 5 to where we are now, page 6, Honorable Nicholas.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Can I just ask, we need to add a word after 2015, the end of the first paragraph, budget over the 2015 what? We can't just leave it hanging there. Budget period or whatever, MTF or whatever it is you want to put in there, but we need a word after 2015.
Yeah.
And then I see you've already added that the audit will be conducted of the first year to ensure the change in revenue, not in revenue. The very last line, sir, before table 3, it should be to ensure that the change in revenue is neutral for the provinces. In revenue is neutral for the provinces. Thank you.
I'm looking at you, you look like, what are they doing? Honorable Sherry.
The second last line, the second paragraph, on 18, ensure this change is not affected
by the audit will be done. Audit will be conducted. So the word conducted is missing. But I said I had the sample saying it in his head. You didn't say it. It is very exact. Is it? But it will be conducted. Okay. We're happy with that, those changes. We move on to the table is straightforward. And is it headed properly? The heading, okay. Equitable share. Okay. And the source is National Treasure. We took it as it is. No plagiarism, nothing. We acknowledge the source. Okay. Let's go down the table. Paragraphs down the table.
The paragraph down the table just explains the information that's contained in the table. So it's just to say that the highest allocation is going to KZN and then Gauteng and the Eastern Cape. And then going to the second paragraph after the table, it is just to speak to the conversion of spending, how it changed in provinces. The second line, for example, cost saving measures put in place resulted in COVID services decline from 19.2 to 18.7 in 13-14, and unprivate expenditure decreasing by 65% between 19 and 13-14. And also the budget review draft does state that some of the measures that will be employed by the provinces, as you will observe on the last line, it will include mechanisms such as requiring textbooks to return at the end of the school year so that only unusable textbooks are replaced in the following year. And then the last line just speaks to changes in composition of employees. And, okay, it continues to the following page. And it says that how this cost escalation in the composition budget will be managed by reducing the number of personnel where it will not impact on service delivery. And the second point is that provincial entities have also been reduced from 101 in 1999 to 52 currently. And a proposal that contained in the budget book also speaks to cost-saving measures that will be explored, such as introducing a new framework to govern remuneration within these agencies. And
let's stop there for now. And when I was at school, I remember we used to return the textbooks. I don't know what was going on. I know those students who are ill-disciplined, they take the textbooks, but they must find, return the books. Honorable members, we just explained that information straightforward. The next table shows the conditional grants. But anything on page 6? Corrections? Nothing? On page 7 is the conditional grants. Source of table, National Treasury. You say something on the conditional grants.
Okay, no, it's on the table itself. Yes, the table is from the Treasury, but in the report that was sent to members, the percentages that are included there, that calculation, something is wrong, but the Treasury assist and corrected, yes, and it corrected. But in the main, where there are decreases, there are still decreases. So the message contained in the report is the same. Like there was, it's not that it changed the growth rates or... So it increased what, 7%, it would now be 8. So it's correct now in the report that's in front of the members.
I think with respect to tables that are derived elsewhere, it's always good if the information is consistent. I don't like amending other people's tables.
Yeah.
So that becomes a problem. So National Treasure, that was your table.
I'm not
trying to put
National Treasury and
calculation,
because it's a combination
of the two. And I think she's right, because in National Treasury, we said it as if that is not our table. Mm-hmm. We will get into trouble. Mm-hmm. So I think we should add National Treasury and all calculations. Yeah, they're very right, but I think that's it.
Yeah.
Because others assume that we took it as it is. If there's slight variation, they are going to have problems. Okay, so but you think general information is correct?
Yes.
All right. Honorable Shorter, sorry, say something?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay, Honorable Shik.
Can I just ask for clarification? And I do understand the report is correct. Again, I read the presentation at the same time and I noticed that there's a substantial difference in the figures in that table 4 and the one in the presentation. The one in the presentation is table 3. It's obviously incorrect, the title of table 3. But I just would like to... We don't have to do it now because obviously we the report is what we're looking at, but I would just like just for some of you to go through and check.
Okay.
Because I mean this is what we are taking. So we have to take this as the report that we table.
Yeah, the latest.
Yeah.
There were changes to table 4, there were, I think that was after discussion of National Treasury. The one on page 7 So if members see the difference with what they received aid, they don't know that there were those changes affected with the percentages, but it's been corrected. Okay, no paragraph under the table?
Okay.
What's the
it has, two, okay, three points. It has to highlight that overall growth in reconditional transfers to provinces averaged 6% over the 2015 MMF. So that is something important for the committee to note. And then for the 2015 MTF, 149 million has been reprioritized from the provincial road maintenance grant to sound for the delivery of the Molot Road infrastructure project. That's for the paragraph underneath the table. And the last paragraph of the page, it just highlights that growth allocations have been positive in critical policy priority areas such as the comprehensive HIV and AIDS grant and the education infrastructure grant and the community library services and social sector and public works grant. So it has a statement there for the committee concerning reaction to this growth allocation. That they are concerned, of course, with the RCD program, which is the school infrastructure backlog grant, and also the minimal growth in outcomes, and also the comprehensive agriculture support programs. And then it ends there with the committee concern. And then the last line, it has to highlight confirmation contained in the paragraph itself that other grants that will be phased out. And, okay, remove the end there. Include the occupational specific disposition grant from 2016-17, and then go on to the next page. Okay, the OAC grant is for the compensation for qualifying education therapists, counselors, and psychologists, which will be funded from the provincial equitable share allocation. Okay, and then the last paragraph there is to note that yes, government has introduced the incentive-based planning, and yes, this is the first year where incentive funds were awarded, and while 6 provinces qualified, 3 provinces did not qualify, and the last notice has the observation of the committee regarding that, which is that the committee notes that provinces' infrastructure spending performance has continued to improve, which is from 82 in 13-14 up to 84.7, and it ends there.
I can't recall the provinces that did not qualify. What was the problem? Not necessarily, not necessarily for the support. I'm just trying to think because I think there was somewhere we were saying that I see that they needed to obtain a minimum of 60%. Wendy, can you help me? What was the reason?
The reason was that the Division of Revenue Act of the previous financial year and even the one before it stipulated certain minimum qualifications and standards that provinces had to meet. For example, they had to employ certain staff that complied with certain conditions, i.e. expert in infrastructure rollout and the planning thereof. They had to meet certain plans and the plans had to meet certain standards. So long in advance, before the incentive grant was introduced, provinces were informed they have a set of criteria. You had to employ certain staff, your plan had to meet certain criteria. For example, they had to have much cycle planning and the costing linked to that. And every plan, every criteria had a certain score attached to it. So either the plan met the criteria, if you met the criteria, which received a score of 60. If you did not meet the criteria, you would not receive the score. So it means that you will still get allocation, base allocation, but you will not receive the incentive allocation because it will mean that the infrastructure that's rolling up is still not really meeting minimum standards and criteria. Because the problem is because infrastructure is planned, but then it's not necessarily maintained and the like. And so they didn't meet that score. We did provide, I think it's to this committee, a detailed report on the incentive grant and that contains the criteria in detail.
Okay, now that's fine. I'm happy because they made a recommendation at the end about that, how to help those that did not qualify for that. But if you look at them, it's also some of the provinces that have a large rural population like Limpopo, Mpumalanga, that is an understanding. So at the end we come back to it to make a recommendation on that. Honourable members, from page 11 after the conditional grants up to page 8, are you okay before we go to local government? Nothing in page 7. Page 8, the last paragraph, is what we're talking about, the incentives. We do have a recommendation at the end on that. I think where we have concerns at the end, when we look at the recommendations, we'll see how suggest they should be tackled, including this one of incentives. Get those provinces to be up to scratch. Local government?
Thanks, Chair. Thanks, honorable members. Thanks, colleagues. The first paragraph, just about the table, it just speaks to the allocations as contained in the table. If you go to the second line, the local government could have a share grown by 6.9 billion or just above 10% from revised estimate of 43.3 billion in 1415 to 50.2 in 1516. And okay, that line was repeated again, no reductions are made to the local government equitable share. And the last line speaks to just protect the main source of funding for free basic services in municipalities. And the table, the conditional grant table is the same disclaimer as the provincial conditional grant table as well. That there was a table that was submitted in the other report. So the information, for example, could also include the reference to national reserve to deficit and home calculations to reflect the percentages that are reflected at the end, just to give more information to the committee.
Okay, so the table, this must be table 5, not 4, because the last one is 4. The table 5 also is national treasury resource, but also own calculations, but the information is correct. Okay, when this happened. Any comments on this? Page 9? It's fine. Okay. Don't worry, if you need something, we can pick it up later. That's local government, up page, let's go to page 10.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Chair. The paragraphs underneath the table does highlight some of the trends that are in the table. The first paragraph speaks to the decreases in baseline allocations for conditional grants have been marginal. And if you go to the second line there, it says that with larger reductions on slow spending and non-infrastructure grants. So that is something important to note there. And if you go to the last line, also another significant point is that, moreover, in the submission actually made by the Treasury Revenue Presenter to us, they submitted that inflation increases in the bulk cost of electricity and water has been fully funded in the equitable share. If you go to the second paragraph, just highlights those conditional grants that have seen significant growth or will be seeing significant growth in the 2015 ATEF. And the first one on the second line speaks to municipal water infrastructure and the integrated national electrification program. And we just highlighted that yes, there is a new grant, which is the municipal demarcation transition grant. And then if you go to the paragraph after that, it speaks to the Parker transportation program grant, which was introduced in 2014-15, and it will be ending this year. Okay, it's a special 2-year application to accelerate the eradication of pocket sanitation, and also to highlight that the RIC grant, which is a rural household infrastructure grant, is expected to, the indirect component is expected to end in 2015-16. And just to note that the work is underway on the review of local government infrastructure grants. And then the paragraph after that is just to highlight that a number of stakeholders, Treasury, COTA, SFC, SALCA, are busy conducting the review of the local infrastructure grant systems. And then some of the reforms that are expected to emanate from the review is that they will be demanding it will include, I mean, in the rules within the municipal infrastructure grant to allow funds to be used to refurbish and replace. And maintenance, of course, will need to be budgeted for as part of standard municipal operation. And then the last paragraph just speaks to also some of the things that will be considered in the review itself. The non-conventional grants will be reduced to ease the burden of grant reporting. If you go to the third sentence on that paragraph, the number of water sanitation grants is also likely to be reduced in 2016-17. And then the next phase of the review will likely see additional consolidation of the infrastructure grants. And that ends that local government conditional allocation.
I think one of the things for our members that we will have to look at in the course of oversight is the thing of bucket systems. At some point we must look at in which areas we still have this problem, because resources have been allocated. Why are we not eradicating this thing? But I'm just saying that it's something that in the course of our work we need to come back to look at. Because, you know, sanitation has become such a big issue in the country, and if grants have been made available in the past years until now, why we still have the problem? It's not necessarily for the report. I'm just saying that let's bear that in mind, that it's something that the appropriation committee might want to put on the radar screen. Anything on that page 9 up to the end of those conditional grants? I think that issue as well, I know that probably there's something at the end, the recommendation, this issue of reducing a number of conditional grants. I think it's an important thing. Well, sometimes there are two main grants that are not effective. I think we must welcome the Treasury's approach to consolidate some of these to make it effective. I don't have all the grants all over, and at the end, they're really not effective. But anyway, we make a recommendation to support that today. Main changes to division of revenue. That's, we are now page 10. Page 10. Main changes. Take us through 2.5.
Okay, for 2.5, it's just to outline the emphasis that is contained in the 2016 Division of Revenue. The first emphasis is reprioritization within the existing fiscal envelope, which applies now to the 3 years of government. And if you go to the second line, the provincial fiscal framework largely remains unchanged except for the function shift. And if you go further down, the local government fiscal framework places focus on accelerating infrastructure investment. And then the last line speaks to the pillars that they follow on the next page.
Oh, okay. Let's on page 10. On our page, you want to say something? No? Okay.
Okay, which
Honourable McLaughlin.
Sorry, Chair, maybe I'll write for the end of 724 stories. I'll come back to it later.
Yeah.
All right, if I may, Sir Chair, the paragraph second before the 2.5, the last line of the piece, maintenance will need to be budgeted for as part of standard municipal operation. This is already the case, it has been for some time, that municipalities are required to include maintenance in their budgets. So it's wrong for us to give the impression that it's not the case, but it will be the case in the future.
Maybe we should say maintenance has to be budgeted. We must price it.
We'll continue.
Yeah.
Or must continue to be budgeted for. Yeah.
Maintenance must continue to
be budgeted for as far as that. That's okay, then. Thank you.
When do you not have
Can I propose that we actually strengthen it even further? Because the issue is that they are budgeting for maintenance, but they are mounting budgeting for it far below the required amount. So I might probably what we need to add is that increased vision or something. Yeah, or meet them, the minimum standards set, because that is the issue.
So they must not just budget, but they must increase.
Yeah.
they have increased the maintenance budgets. Maintenance should be budgeted for and increased in order that we should have part of standard. So it's budgeted for and increased. Okay. We are happy with that. Okay, let's go back to page 10 on the main changes to the division of revenue. Maintenance. Bandy, you got that one. Budgeted for increase. Another clock. You are page 10. Okay. Honorable, we are page 10.
Yeah, I think the sentence that we have, I don't know whether we are moving it from the paragraph, the first paragraph, no, second paragraph, which starts Mission and Treasury together with Department of Cooperative Governance. It's at the end there. And I don't know whether, where are we putting it now? It's at the end of 2.4. We are putting it at the 2.4.
No, from amending the municipal
infrastructure grant. You mean the last paragraph? Or is it the same place, the wording has changed? Oh, okay.
Okay, you mean that sentence about maintenance? Yeah, it will say that we just have the maintenance, they must strengthen it. Because we were saying that they must, I think this point has been said for years by many ministers. Play budget for maintenance, budget for. So we just need to make sure that we emphasize this, that they must increase it. Because you find that a lot of government buildings are dilapidated. You know, we build clinics, we don't maintain, they dilapidate because people don't budget for maintenance or things. So it stays there. Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. Just in the second line, under the heading 2.5, states there should have state opposed to yes. Second line of the first paragraph under the heading. That is state policy objectives.
Apostrophe.
It was to be apostrophe yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Only one state.
Okay. We're not in the United States.
Fine.
Okay, we've got that.
And I just free state.
Okay. Anything on 10? Nothing. Go to 11.
It's just the bullet point, the bullet points remaining. So these are the areas of emphasis which are now contained in the Division of Revenue Bill. The first bullet point speaks to modifying the infrastructure grant system, which is work that is underway. And the second bullet point speaks to refocusing the neighborhood development partnership program to support the development of economic hubs in large urban townships. And then reforming the system of development charges to improve fairness and transparency. And the second last bullet point speaks to sustainability of all revenues for members. And the last bullet point speaks to the assistance that DBSA will provide to municipalities in terms of financing the municipal infrastructure.
We are here. Honorable Shopperton.
Chairperson, I just want you to explain a little bit on bullet point number 2.
Okay, I was just meaning this, that it's sort of linked to the city support program with integrated zones. So it's actually basically a sub. Remember, the integrated zone is where you actually take like a road network and then do the housing around that, the economic development around it, and then part of it, all the economic hubs, all business opportunities. So this is a subset within the integration zone that's specifically geared at economic development and boosting, for example, small businesses and the like to enable economic growth.
Okay, you guys want to end?
Okay. Thanks, Chairperson. Oh, no, I'll just read from the actual DORA itself what it says about the neighborhood development partnership grant. That is on page 102. The aim of this grant is to create a platform for third-party public and private investment which will improve the quality of life in township, urban hubs. Projects in towns and rural areas are implemented in conjunction with the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform to support catalytic projects in this area.
It's on 102 of DORA. You are happy, Honorable Shortester?
Yes, I'm
okay. Honorable Fitz?
Just a question. Who makes the decision, or how is the decision made as to which are your large townships? Say urban townships, but it took but large townships. Can I just get clarification on that, please?
Okay, who makes the decision?
Yes.
Is it not related also to the size of the population? Anybody have an answer? Does it include Alex?
My township is large.
Obviously, I think if you look at the, I'm just thinking aloud that if you look at the your metro areas, you can assume that they have large townships. If you look at Olex, Soweto, etc. But it's something that we can look at. I think obviously National Treasury will talk to COPT as well, matters like this, to be exact, because I assume most of them will be in the metros, these large townships. Honorable Dr. Torres, you're looking at me.
Yes, Honorable Chair, I'm looking at you with great envy, because Alex is covered. So I was just thinking of my little hood training. It's just a lot of farm workers. Maybe I will get a discussion with Treasury as to whether they have them at the back of their mind when they draw this budget.
Rural municipalities, small towns.
I think what's quite important here is that if you look at the previous neighborhood development partnership program, and it basically doesn't distinguish, and that is where the problem came in. So what's going to happen is that the grant is, unlike what we say in most of the cases, the grant is confused. And the portion that's dealing with the rural is actually most probably going to move to the Department of Rural and Enterprises and Rural Development. Specifically, to actually start looking at what are the economic growth points and areas that we need to focus on to actually boost economic development in rural areas. So some of the work that's currently taking place is actually to get the Department of Land Development ready to take on that grant and build the capacity so that they can do that. So because you need different strategies for both. And maybe just on the definition of what is a large township as well, it's determined by the municipality themselves.
Yes, the other researchers, if there are issues you want to clarify, feel free. So don't think I'm suppressing you. I don't want you to complain outside like me. If only he gave a chance, I would have explained this thing. So please, just alert me and say, you know, yeah. If you want to say something on this, rural, the small town of Honorable Shoppers, you are covered by wind.
Yeah.
Something shall be done. there must be no area in our county that is forgotten. Okay. On page 11, honorable members, 2.6, apparently there were technical corrections. Deal with it. Technical corrections.
Okay, thanks, Chairperson. Thanks, honorable members. Thanks, colleagues. The trader did bring, did alert the committee that there was an allocation error for the municipal disaster recovery grant allocated to the Mpumalanga province. I will just read a specific line just for the record that explains this quite clearly. The National Disaster Management Center formally notified National Treasury on the 3rd of March and reported that instead of reflecting an allocation of 10 million in 1560 for Umshin local municipality, the allocations in 1560 should reflect 4.6 million for Umshin local municipality and 2.6 million for Bushbuck Ridge local municipality, and the remaining 2.8 million should be reflected as unallocated. The Treasury indicated it is possible to have changes in the allocations before they are gazetted, so they ensure that only the correct allocations are gazetted, and they request this committee, they request Parliament to agree to a change and allow National Treasury to gazette the correct allocation.
So, Honorable Shopper, so we can send the 2.8 million to Woods, but
2 I think honorable my neighbor here is not aware that 99% of the people who are suffering in the street, they sleep in Bushwick.
Yeah, they are from
Bushwick. Okay, so you have made a very strong case. We'll refer to the minister to bring adjustment back. You must remember we sprayed in Bushwick.
Yes.
Okay, honorable members, that correction is being effected. The National Treasury wanted us to, when we table the report to the House, that this correction is noted for proper gazetting. We agree? Agreed. Honorable Member.
Thank you, sir. Just a question. Regarding the first paragraph of this declaration, it says the remaining 3.8 million should be reflected as unallocated. How is that actually done?
Wendy, how do you do it? It stays the national revenue.
No, thank you. There's an item that specifically has to be created. It lists the names of the municipalities, and then in the case of provinces, it will be the names of the provinces, and then we add a column below that, and we say unallocated. And we say so much. Yeah, it remains to be in the conference, not yet allocated.
And I would say this.
It's unallocated, so when and what are the conditions that they get allocated and to where?
Probably during the adjustment. I suppose when?
No, two things can happen. It can either be allocated to individual municipalities or can be returned to a fisc. So it says, for example, one thing with these disasters that we've picked up, it's nice to put fingers at the National Disaster Management Center. But to actually do the costings of these disasters are quite tricky, and it's quite difficult. So what we will do, we will be working with the National Disaster Management Center, not the demarcation board, indicated during the presentation, to actually come back when we do the adjustment budget, and we'll give guidance to the committee which of those two options it will be.
So if that will be allocated, obviously there will be a process to catch up in the adjustment budget later in the year to where it's mostly needed. Okay, the correction shall effect it. The minister will do a gazette to effect it. We're done with that section on technical correction, or as you did talk about the, to the end of that. Now, honorable members, we did listen to various stakeholders, obviously the National Treasury, most of what we're doing now comes from them, but we also listened to the Budget Office. So you can go through that, but what we do here, we note what we heard from these stakeholders, etc. And then at the end, we make our own recommendation. So if we can go through quickly what we heard from Budget Office on page 11. You don't have to read everything.
Okay, no, fine. Key message. On the first paragraph, they did it, PBOD submitted that social grant expenditure is stable provided that the economy keeps growing at 3%. And then on the second paragraph, they did raise issues in terms of the definition of the poor in South Africa and then the actual number of grant recipients. They did raise concerns about that. And then on the third paragraph, they did highlight elements that are proper in the budget and those that are not necessarily proper in the budget. Proper would be the social credit increases, the leaving the Fed untouched, and the shifting of the income tax burden to the middle and high income earners. And some of the elements which are not necessarily proper as are contained in the presentation of the PBO is the nominal increase in grants itself, the RAF levies and the YF, that these are not necessarily pertinent for the poor and the unemployed. We did highlight to the grants in terms of the number of grants, the reporting there of the complexity and the flow of grants that they were concerned about, and that is something that we will need to look into going forward. So that ends there for the PBO.
Okay, that's the PBO. Is that okay? We've captured that correctly. We will make our own recommendations at the end, just capturing the view of the stakeholders. And that's the PBO. Anything? No. What else?
Chairperson, thanks. They did indicate in their submission regarding what they believe would be an ideal approach to study to GDP ratio, and I noticed that, that is not included in this submission.
Okay. We summarize their input. They had it there. Their details,
yeah.
I can't remember. They said what 40% of 40% of GDP. Oh, they are there. They can speak for themselves.
Yeah. PBO did not indicate
it's
due on an ideal debt level. What it merely said was the National Treasury considers to be sustainable debt level, or the IMF considers to be sustainable debt level in terms of debt to GDP ratio. And that was the condition of 40%. And then when you add contingency liabilities, so that was not our view. Just for the sake of if I may,
sorry, did you say that was not your view?
We did say away towards something that's more progressive. They didn't say there's a shift. The tax system has always been progressive. It just continues to be progressive. It's not as if the tax the poor have now upping their taxes. It's just that there's more being paid in terms of the margin level. I think they're wording it quite differently over there.
Okay.
If you want progressive, main
progressive. You're talking about the third paragraph. The third paragraph here. Yeah.
No, the way it's written here is not saying there's a shift in terms of whether the tax is progressive or not. The PBO something has highlighted that the tax cut that's implemented shifts the tax burden to the middle and higher income enough.
So it's not a correct interpretation.
Yeah. But I think, if I may speak, Honorable Chairperson, I think there's an issue with the term shift. When you use the term shift, you're suggesting that it was an incidence on the poor, and now the incidence on the poor is relieved, and there's great incidence on the middle class and higher income earners, and that is not consistent with what we said, and I don't think that is consistent with what is contained in the by documentation and the recommendation.
Okay, the tax system has always been progressive.
Yeah.
So I think what we need to do is to, you must rephrase it to our team here so we capture it correctly. They will make that correction. Did you hear me? I said you must rephrase that and bring it. Because we all agree that the tax regime has always been progressive. So there is no sudden shift to better the middle income. It has always been the case that the middle income are the people who carry the tax burden. Okay. If it was read differently, let's rephrase that. But otherwise, the budget office, you still want to say something?
Yes.
You want to capture your correct?
Can we stick with Tepo N? Because I think almost the first, second, and third paragraph is enforcement.
Yeah.
It's not exactly what the DBO says. Can you click with him and modify according to what the DBO says?
Okay, you have fun till tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll do it immediately.
By the time we come tomorrow, your input will be in. We have no problem with that because we want to capture you correctly. Yeah, Tepo is available. When we finish, you go with it. Yeah, I think it's fair, honorable members. We don't want, by the time we put a report there, then the people say, oh, we never said that. Let's capture them correctly. Is that fine, honorable Shepherdstone? And then honorable Timon?
I just wanted to support the PBO because when I was listening to the report, I was busy thinking, is this what I had or if not, so I think it's
okay.
And the word shift should be taken out completely.
Okay.
Okay, just on life, you know, I think it'll be more than fair because you're giving them the entire Microsoft account.
Yeah. Well, can I give them until end of business day today? Okay. On the FSC, is the FSC here? Oh, shame. They can't speak for themselves. So. Yeah. FSC? Anything you want to highlight there?
On the first paragraph, okay, the FSC did broadly welcome the budget. In their submission, they did emphasize the provision of child welfare services and that this should be prioritized and made more equitable. That's from the first paragraph. And then the second paragraph, they raised a concern in terms of when functions are shifted through legislative amendments, that it should be implemented alongside the requirements of the FSC Act to avoid problems that may arise due to unfunded mandates. And also they did raise concerns about the phasing in of the essentially HPC, which relates to the they raise concerns with the phasing in of the newly established commission grants, such as the HPC into the equitable share. And on the last line there, the phasing of the OS into the provincial equitable share should be carefully managed to ensure that the provinces do not overspend on personnel in particular. And the third part of the paragraph following that, they did raise concerns about the total revision of the provincial health conditional grants given the size of the revision itself, and they did indicate that this should rather be preceded by an exponential review to determine the extent of the impact on service delivery. And if you go down further in the same paragraph, they did comment that the streamlining of national grants such as the merger of the elite and technical secondary schools should be extended to the health infrastructure grants, which are in essence have the same objective, which is linked to what was raised in the previous section, that is a move towards the consolidation of the grants. And
On the last line, they also raised concerns about incentives themselves, the inability of some provinces to meet the incentive threshold, and proposed that the relevant departments together with the Treasury identify and address the underperformance challenges. Then going to the paragraph after that, they did also speak to the Perth Environment Performance Plan, and they did indicate that they welcomed the plan and actually proposed extension of the Perth requirement to other municipalities as well. And the paragraph following that, they did indicate that notwithstanding improvement in municipal infrastructure grant performance, they did just emphasize that more effort needs to be done in terms of improving spending capacity and efficiency of municipalities, and that they did support the process underway by the Treasury in reviewing the infrastructure grant systems. And the last point there, which they actually talked about a lot in the actual written report that is submitted to the committee, they spent quite a significant amount of pages to this. They're the infrastructure program of the state, especially those programs that are undertaken by SOEs, such as Eskom and Transnet. They need to coordinate their plan to be aligned with the municipal integrated development plans.
That's FFC. We find honorable members not to bring back the whole presentation of these stakeholders. So this is a summarized version of what we think is the gist of their presentation. Honorable McLaughlin.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Just a few grammatical things. In the second line of the first paragraph, I suggest it should read that although there have been baseline reductions, rather than has been.
Is that which
FFC, the first paragraph? Yes, second line.
Second line.
Comment that although there have been baseline reductions, I would suggest, rather than have been.
Although there have been.
And then just in the next line down, after the word government, there appears to be a semicolon. Seems out of place there, I would say. If anything, a comma there, but quite often, quite easily without any punctuation mark there.
Okay. Any other corrections?
Sorry, on the last line of that page, where it says, reading from the previous line, reviews to determine the extent to which grants objectives are affected. Should I read grants objectives or grants in apostrophes? Objectives are affected, yeah. I would say grant objectives. Just take up the answer.
There's grant objectives are affected, yes.
Thank you, Chair.
And you've got it? You find it on me from page 12. The extent to which grant objectives are affected. Okay, that's captured. That's FFC. The budget office, I'm alerted that in your presentation you did use a reference to shifting of income tax burden to the middle and high income earners. But we can look at it to the team. Maybe in the PowerPoint you can shift it that way, but you explain it differently. That's FFC, Honourable Members. Honourable McLaughlin, you're still on FFC?
Sorry, sir, yes, my eye just picked up another one. About halfway through the first paragraph on page 13, there's a sentence that starts with the word pertaining. I suggest the word to should follow the word pertaining to the performance-based allocation framework.
Okay, so that can see that. Pertaining to the performance. Okay.
Thank you, sir.
That concludes FSP. FALCA. What is FALCA saying? I can guess what FALCA is saying. Yeah, I know what FALCA is saying. We all know it. Yes, FALCA.
Thanks, Chairperson. Thanks, honorable members. Thanks, colleagues. the submission by SAGA, the first paragraph, generally they did welcome the 2015 budget proposals, and the last line they say that the, they were content that it was in the country's interest to ensure that proper resources were allocated towards local government. Going to the paragraph after, they did note that there were no baseline reduction in the local government equitable share, which they welcome. And if you just go down further, they did also welcome various support measures provided to the cities in the 2015 budget. But they did express concern that the 9.1% allocated to local government in the fiscal is not enough as compared to the other spheres. And they did indicate that work on the review of the local government equitable share needed to continue so as to increase the share allocated towards local government since the current allocation was insufficient. They also did report on a study that they have undertaken on the actual cost of providing electricity, water and sanitation in various municipalities in relation to the allocation. An outcome was that the local government equitable allocation was substantially insufficient when compared to the actual costs to be incurred. On the paragraph after that, they did note and highlight concerns of state agencies, households and private businesses which are indebted to municipalities, and that does continue to be a major challenge to municipalities, and reported that it was also reported that although that was the case, it was also mindful of its responsibility to ensure better management of increased resources at local government. And as part of the initiatives that they will be undertaking in order to improve performance at local government, on the last line of that paragraph I just read it, for instance, it will invest more in monitoring the performance and capacitation of municipal oversight structures such as municipal public accounts committees, audit committees, and internal audit functions. And they did provide an overall assessment of the conditional grant, and they did indicate that they are working with the Treasury and MISA and other entities to ensure their capacity and in municipalities improves. And they did make a note on the built environment performance plan, and that more work needed to be done in terms of implementation and coordination there. That ends.
Yeah, I think the SAGA also considered there was a greater need for input from departments like ourselves to, for the purposes of legislation, to give a little bit more seat or value to organize departments like IMPACT, because they found that IMPACT was very weak, or they were being blocked, or they could not actually perform to the maximum. And I don't know if you wanted to throw that in somewhere.
Can we
capture
it?
Yeah.
Okay, Honorable Mepler.
Thank you, Chair. Just one grammatical change in the second last paragraph, about halfway down. The sentence reads, resources at local government and recorded on a number of measures. It should read, it just reads number measures. I can see it there. Second paragraph up, where your cursor is now, just move a bit over to the right. On a number of measures in there, yes.
Thank you, Chair. Okay. You got it, any other thing on Honorable Schopenhauer?
Yes. Thank you, Chairperson. On the written submission, that is paragraph 1, second sentence, they had written, it welcomed the 2015 budget proposal. SAGA further reported that it was cognizant of South Africa's precarious state of finances. But we did actually ask them to retract that, because as far as I'm concerned, the finances of South Africa are in good shape. Our oversight structures, like the Auditor General and the Auditors, actually got first position internationally. And our banks are in good shape. Treasury, we're all happy with Treasury. So I said they should remove that precarious and rather say we have got a problem with the slow growth of the economy, because that is what all economists say. And in any literature that is talking about South Africa today, they are talking about problems with the slow growth, not precarious. We are not there, and I don't think we'll ever be there when this committee exists.
Did they agree to change?
Yes, they did.
Okay. Don't want to share their inputs, but if they agree to change, then let's reflect the changed approach. Because I was not there on Friday. You were sharing Honorable Shores, but
yeah.
Okay, so you were recalled. It went to the corrected accordingly. Anything on Falca?
Just one correction. It's immediately under the precarious. We say the process and was contained, shouldn't be contained.
The chief.
They were contained to the chief. What was that content? Meaning they are happy, they're fine. Then it must be a T. If it means they are fine, it's a T. Yeah. If you mean they were fine, they were happy, you are content, it's a T. We're done with that.
It's a question just for information, because I was extremely worried about that. When I was home, I went into the internet and looked for precarious financial conditions, South Africa. Then I found that this actually was said by a committee somewhere in 1994 and to 2005 in a workshop. I think it was a jam. They were talking about how we found the finances in 1994. So they used that precarious financial. So that's where we go.
And I guess that if we're going to rework that precarious, we're probably going to work that sentence up to the end. So let's leave it now. Content is the key, but we are reworking that sentence line with their letter. Position. Okay,
another question. Can I just request that while they agree to change it, unless we have a change or the permission to in writing, that we leave it as it is on Lord Shepherd?
We rely on the minutes of the committee when they present it, and they can be called as well to agree on a new phrasing. Yeah. That's why I was saying, we don't want to change people's views if they speak by them. But if they agreed in that meeting to rephrase that, let's rephrase in line with that agreement, that we can share the new phrase with them, so that they are not shocked to see what we say they said. Okay. Yeah.
Talgar did indicate in the meeting that they shouldn't have used precarious. So, and they apologized for that as well. So, we are changing it here.
Well, then let's rely on the minutes. Yeah. Agreed.
We have done with that?
Yes, sir. Honorable Yabu.
Yes, sir. Also wanted to support here, and because they have already said the meeting said they were not meaning that. So I think they were also saying maybe the right way, yeah, maybe they can.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. That's fair. Findings and observations. Are we done with stakeholders and our findings? We are moving towards the end. Honorable member, do you want him to read all those things?
Okay. You can just do what you've been doing. What is the first finding or observation? 5.1, there it is. Okay. Before, Honorable McLean.
Thank you, Chair. There seems to have been a glitch in the numbering system, which has turned from 3 to 5, then from 4.
Yeah.
Just fix that there. Thank you. And one is still away.
Thank you for that.
Number 5 on your sheet should actually be number 4. No, I'm incorrect.
Oh, maybe there's something missing.
And then, Chair, my comment earlier about the word counter-cyclical, I think it applies equally.
It's not one word.
It's not one word.
Okay.
Either two words or hyphenated.
With a hyphenated.
Yes. Thank you, sir.
On 5.2, any changes? Now, is that 5.2? We're not misrepresenting you.
Nothing, but we already discussed it as part of the 94. Sometimes when you cut, you actually, it changes its meaning. So if you look at my documentation, it actually says, based on expenditure reduction to what was announced in the 2014 NCPA. So maybe we'll just bring that in the 2014 NCPA, because that was in the context, but it's not really a reduction, but it's the slowing of the growth of the allocation.
Okay, so the way we discussed it earlier, we need to rephrase it that way. Okay, if that is fine before we do that. 5.3. Proposed measures aimed at further inclusion. Cost containment agreed. Just noting those things. 4.4.
That's a moot point, I guess, but in 4.3, just our description, it would say that the cost containment includes expanding the Treasury instruction notes limits on cost containment. The way I think notes would have a capital N. So it's referring to the Treasury instruction note.
Yeah.
That's the limits imposed by that note.
Mm.
And that's a fix that's for me.
Yeah. That's what I was intended, is the Treasury note. A big book. It's an instruction from Pretoria. Okay. 4.4 is fine. 4.5. I was way 6. 5. I think that I would like 4 just.4.7. The committee acknowledged the evaluation of incentive grants. Yes. Not reading. 4.7, not to read. When do you think you want to read? You must read.
Is it 4.7 or 5.7?
We're changing everything to 4.
Okay.
Starting from the heading, because there was no 4.
Oh.
So everything will be now finding or observation will be 4, and then everything will be 4.1, 4.4, everything. You can read.
Oh.
What do you want to read?
Okay. No, I'll read from, not as well, indication, I'm sorry.
Yeah, 4.7 is fine. We acknowledge in the utilization of incentives. 4.8, or before that, Honorable Edward.
Thank you, Chair. Just 4.6. in the last line, or the second last line, it reads, the order of frameworks and stipulations. Typically, if we could just say framework stipulations. Scrap the possibility. Framework stipulations. Yes, meaning the same that we see here without the apostrophe.
Cancel the S. Sanji got it. 4.7, you wanted to say something about incentives? No. Okay, 4.8. You want to say something? No. 4.9? What for it? Yes, the word.
I think maybe you pick up what you call it, cool contact. Because we didn't refer to the provincial fiscal framework and the local government fiscal framework, and then we really use the division of revenue framework. Maybe what we can consider the equivalent to as far as the interface in the local government fiscal framework is called. Because it specifically refers to the framework that deals with local government.
Honourable member can see where we are. 4.8, the committee notes priority emphasis placed in the local government fiscal framework that supports cities to increase their contribution to infrastructure development. Agreed?
Mm-hmm.
Honourable Cadwallon?
Thank you, Chair. I'm just being a bit fuzzy, I guess. In 4.7, I see our value of incentivizing and prioritizing and prioritize is only American spec. Do we not have a rule that you could say English spec?
I think it's a computer from America. Zambia has been trying to come back. You are wrong. Okay, noted.
Sure.
You want to say something? Okay. The bucket.
Yes.
Yeah. We're past the bucket. Are we there? Okay. Anybody want to say something there? 4.9? None? Chapter 1 want to say anything? No. 4.10? Somebody want to say something? No. I think Darren wants to say something. Okay. 13. The committee notes FAMCA submission. That precarious thing is not there. Clearly wrong. Treasury is happy, 14. Honourable Thomas, you are on?
On page 16. 4.13.
Yeah.
One sentence sounds to be incomplete. The second one, Treasury, starting from the first line, and continues to say treasury submission that local government executive share increased from around 6% in 2006 to 2007, and it doesn't say to where.
Not actually 6, it's 10.
Now the point that I made is it was 6% in 2006-07, but increased to 10% in 2015-16 if you enter that into account the indirect costs of the local
payment. Yes, that's what I'm saying we should add in that
sentence. Yes.
You don't have to
Let the Honourable Thomas catch up to the Honourable. National. You present. Okay. 4.14. Committee main concern at the revenue collection to calculate. Alright. 15. You are 15.
I'm going back to 4.14. There are
guaranteed
instruments available. I think some of
them
should change from the
legal provision. Not to be considered. Legislative instrument to be present. Not to be considered.
Sorry, Jim. The legislative reserve is to be implemented.
Okay.
Okay. When you say they're all there, we just need to use them.
Be implemented.
Yeah. It's not considered. That means we're going to think about using them. When we actually say we're not all going to use them.
Okay. Implemented. Much stronger. Do you agree with that? Yes, I will say something.
Yes.
Okay,
In SALCA, in its submission, they did indicate that the instruments that are currently there, they do not allow them to do some of the things that, for example, SARS would be able to do. So they were asking for Parliament to consider it would be new on top of what they already have. But I'm thinking how to raise it now. It's not that there are instruments that are able to implement currently, but you would want to add on top of the instruments currently in the system.
Except that my concern would be that there is a plethora of legislation in local government. I think to continue to ask for more, I don't think we should support that. There's too much. So I'll say let's strengthen and implement. But there are too many laws in local government. And some of them are now prohibiting the efficiency of service delivery. Too many. If we continue to say more legislation, so rather we should say, okay, that we note the submission by SALCA, and we should say that legislative instrument should be strengthened and implemented, rather than suggesting that there should be more, because there's very too many. 15? Yes, before that.
The emphasis on this was on living collection.
Yeah.
And I don't know, you know, SALCA was contradictory as far as I understand. Because I like to write to research that there is legislation, there is municipal legal framework to be able to recover and everything is basically just not being implemented. And my concern there is, I don't know whether we should say anything to this effect because municipalities are not collecting things, but they're writing off hundreds of millions of. I don't know where surgery can come in there. Into putting some restrictions on municipalities to just go off and continue to be writing off rather than making a good quality. I don't know at a certain point whether surgery needs to come in and say, now hold on, we're not allowing you to write off it when you go off and find it. Yeah.
But in addition to that, Chairman, I don't know whether really the connection system or connection instrument should be really the focus of our attention. Because as you correctly say, there is a lot of existing legislation. And correctly we should say we should use those legislation to implement. But the question is, are the systems and kind of instruments we use to collect, are they the most modern ways of collection, or within depending on the good faith of the citizens? So that's the question.
Okay.
So I guess if we say that we are strengthening legislation and instruments, centers, both. So where we need to modernize, we'll help. We can look at that, the details later. But I think the spirit is captured that we must strengthen those systems and implement the framework that exists, the legislative framework, and take into account what Honorable Sheikh Iman said, the National Treasury can hold that example. We need to come back to the issue of writing off hundreds and thousands of deaths, and see how we can deal with it. 15th, or before that, Honorable Chairperson.
Yes, I was just saying, I think you have captured it very well, because we also had this challenge of MPEX who are unable to deal with their work because they don't have enough, I don't know, we need to penalize the act and give them more space to be able to oversee the transfer, which is not happening at present.
So would 15 capture that?
Yes, 15.
It captured that.
Mm.
Okay. You want to start that here?
Okay, I just have a suggestion. We can add additional line to reflect the committee's view. The submission by SALGA did say they want more legislation. We can note that, but also reflect what the core committee says about that view, that rather possibly if the committee agrees to it, that current system should rather be strengthened and implemented, that we can add that additional.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Then I'm going to come back to this. I think the problem that you're sitting here with what the impact is, and I think there's confusion, there's no clarity on exactly where do they get the instructions from, where do they instruct them to investigate a particular matter or not. And I think the problem we're having is this, municipal managers believe that impact can do nothing until it comes from them. Council believes it must come from them. Now, these are where you seem to be having problems time and time again. And whenever MPEG wants to investigate a particular matter that does not suit a particular person, you say you do not have the right to do that, you do not have the right, it's not within your mandate. So I think there needs to be a lot more clarity on where MPEG, my understanding is that MPEG is supposed to be an entity on its own, independent entity that will investigate any matter, but that is not the case, it's clearly not the case. And I think unless we do that, MPEG is never going to be performed to its maximum, it cannot.
Maybe we want in the course of our oversight work meet again with SALGA to discuss this matter. Because I think a challenge here might not be adequate, although we do say that we welcome, we don't say welcome, but we note the efforts by SALGA in improving critical municipal oversight by structures such as MPEG committees. But what Honorable Sheikh Man is saying, that there are more critical issues, and I think we may need to discuss with them again on this to determine the impact. Yes,
Mr. Kahn, just ask a recommendation that when the session is held, most probably the National Treasury and most probably Corps of Governance also be invited to the session so that we can have the board discuss exactly where the legislative mandate. Because often it's also got to do with interpretation, and I think that would be quite useful.
Okay, let's note that in the minutes that we will have discussion with our advice, National Treasurer and Comptroller, to deal with these issues. Yeah, okay. On 16. Any comment on 16? None? Do you want to say something? No?
No, okay.
Yes, okay.
This is a point I'm bringing forward to the committee to note that, and really just is to emphasize that SOEs are the key driver for infrastructure in the MTEP. And is no link with the work that they do with the IDPs at local government. And at the same time, the provincial and local government fiscal framework are emphasizing city development as engine of growth of the future. So we'd like to see that linkage, and we're noting it there is something that we'll also consider in our program going forward.
Okay, that's a good fit. Agreed. Yes, treasury is not happy.
No, I'm really happy. I can make a suggestion to further strengthen it, because it's not just a state-owned enterprise, but it's also what national government does, and particularly the provinces, to ensure that integration. Because, for example, what you need is for that school clinics are actually also aligned to the municipalities.
Okay, so we're adding those others. Agreed. The 70.
I'm not sure why we're saying that the committee was the leader of the Financial Fiscal Commission as well as states of the EDA. I certainly didn't. I mean, that's a waste of time and a waste of money, because we continue to take effort again and again. And I think from that point of view, I take umbrage with that the committee agrees. I don't know whether we took a vote on it, but certainly my vote would be against. Thank you.
The extension of the BEP. Built environment. By the way, who said they must be extended? For the SALCA? Or FSC? Okay. We did not note that they said that. If the committee has not applied mine, then it agrees. We don't have to. We just stopped it. We can discuss it at some other point if we think it's something good to be extended all over. Maybe we might want to check if this is currently before we agree that it be extended all over. So just limit your pay by noting that the FSC said that. 18. Agreed. Then recommendations. What do we recommend? Take us through, second.
Thanks, Chairperson. The first recommendation is really,
so it should be 5 now, right?
Oh yes, 5.1.1. It's really in response to grants that are due to be phased out in 2015 MF, and that when the phasing out happens, the Treasury supports provinces and local government to ensure that those functions and programs are able to be carried out without hindrance in the medium term. So I'll just quickly read it as is now. National Treasury ensures that the process of phasing out provincial and municipal conditional grants that are due to end in the 2015 MTEP, or those that are due to be phased out or phased into the provincial and local government equitable shares, does not compromise service delivery and the necessary support to be provided to ensure that provinces and municipalities are able to absorb the adjustments.
Number one, yes,
Honorable
Ms. Logan.
Thank you, Chair. I don't think it's good form for us to say that the Minister of Finance should ensure that National Treasury ensures. The use of the word twice doesn't go well. I would suggest there was something along the line that National Treasury implements the process of phasing out of provincial and municipal additional grants with a view to end. So then we need to add the word of between out and provincial. We need to add the word due to end in the 2015 MDEF. I think there was another one I saw. Although that are due to be raised into the provincial, I think that was it, provincial and national equitable shares.
Local.
I don't think we have local equitable share.
You were saying the first one, because the sentence says that the minister should ensure the following, then that sentence.
National Treasury implement the process of phasing.
So we don't need to use the show again.
Correct.
Okay.
Because the word
ensure appears
again at the end of the
sentence. Okay. All right.
is happy with that line implement. They implement the process. The minister made sure they do it. The rest you've captured for the correction. That are due to end. You caught it that year. Due to end. And then there you add provincial and local government equitable shares. 5.12. Or before that, yes.
Further on that one, after equitable shares, now the shares is narrow, it should be does by two. So equitable shares do not compromise service level. Thank you, sir.
Yes, wait. We're done with that. And then you got it. Next step, 5.12.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Is that tailored to threaten?
National Treasury strengthens systems and mechanisms aimed at ensuring that provinces qualify for incentives in income product programs for education, health, and roads. Emphasis to be placed on provinces that does not qualify for incentive allocation in 1516.
So add that. And emphasis should go to those who did not qualify before. Or those that have not qualified. Okay.
Thank you, sir. So while I agree with that, but we must also see it as a responsibility as this committee to make sure that we follow up and have those assist those problems that were not doing very well by actually working closely with their committees, the legislative committees, not limited just to Treasury. Treasury will do what they can, but I think we also have that responsibility.
How do we phrase it? Do we say the committee will maybe support and monitor the implementation of this incentive? In the course of monitoring, we'll be able to make suggestions what needs to be strengthened. Is that fine? Yes.
Thanks. Because recommendations go to the executive, for those oversight mechanisms we want to embark on our own, we can record it in the monitor, and also this will find expression in our program.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. So in the minutes, we'll record what Honorable Shokas told me. Say, because the recommendation goes to the executive, not to ourselves.
Okay,
5.13.
That National Treasury ensures that the correct allocations per municipality are considered for the municipal disaster recovery grant with regards to the Malacca province.
Well, they haven't agreed to that. Do you want to belabor this point? I don't know. Remember, in their part, the minister requested us to say that he will do the gazette. Okay, we can have it, but it's not like we overkill. Is it not about the correction?
Yes, it is. The
Okay. All right. I suppose they've agreed to do it. Need, but okay, there's a need. Yes, Honorable, my good.
Thank you, Chairman. My comment is 613, 513, I think. Word insurers again, once again, we say that the Minister of Finance must ensure the National Treasury insurance. That's how, I'm not sure what word we put in its place, but the National Treasury.
Gazette.
Yeah.
The minister must ensure the National Treasury Gazette.
Okay.
I think Zandi Life insures. Let's ensure Zandi that. 5.14. Agreed.
Okay.
Yes. The 5.14. Okay.
I hope the correct one. 5.14. I'll just read it and indicate where the correction. The National Treasury develops systems and mechanisms to ensure that all state agencies timelessly settle their outstanding debts with municipalities, ESCOM, water boards, and other, it's meant to be other state agencies.
Institutions.
State institutions. Not
an administrative service.
Yes. These systems should also entail credible and affordable billing systems and revenue collection systems. I'm not sure if...
Honorable Sheikh Imam, is that fair?
Yes.
Okay. Honorable Toran, is fair? You also read the page.
I'm a bit confused when you talk about ESCOM paying, settling their outstanding debts with municipalities, unless I have a misunderstanding. I understand that it is municipalities that are owing ESCOM.
I think there are two issues here.
Yes.
There are state agencies and departments that owe municipalities, and then there are municipalities that owe ESCOM.
Yeah.
So I think let's just look at who owes who here and who has the clue. But honestly, we don't want government department agents to own municipalities. But we also want municipalities also to settle their debt with their ESCOM. I think that's the point you want to make. But we'll correct it accordingly. But these people must pay one another. Special municipalities, you know, government departments, they pay government municipalities.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not paying them.
That's big brother.
5.15, just before I read, this is in response to the policy statement contained in the violent document that says that government is looking towards moving towards a less energy intensive economy. 5.15. National Treasury, in partnership with the Financial and Fiscal Commission, explores systems and mechanisms that will encourage the utilization of energy efficient methods in the delivery of government infrastructure programs. This consideration should also be included into the work underway in the review of on the infrastructure conditional grant.
Can you change this incremental change in the last sentence there? This consideration should also be included in the work underway, not into Thank you. In the back.
Okay, you got it there? Any other audition? Yes, 70.
It's not in the mandate of National Treasury. So we are proposed as National Treasury and relevant stakeholders, because it was also included the Department of Energy, which is responsible for energy efficiency.
But say stakeholders or agencies, rather than
stakeholders.
Okay. Another stakeholder. You can't do it on your own. Okay. That's fine. You and your stakeholders can do this. 5.16, Sebo. Partnership with Public Works.
Okay. 5.16. National Treasury in partnership with the Department of Public Works and the Department of Small Business Development to consider developing innovative incentives into what the ASAP proposed that provincial and local government fiscal frameworks instead of DORA frameworks and infrastructure planning systems aimed at enhancing infrastructure delivery and focus on two things, namely promoting efficiency by ensuring that provinces and municipalities consider whether existing infrastructure can be used, upgraded before planning to build new infrastructure and the utilization of SMMEs.
Okay, that's 5.16. Agreed. Any changes there? Honorable Shopester?
No.
Oh, okay. Agreed. 5.1. Wait. The where has the numbering changes there? Okay, so it starts by 5.2.
Yes.
Now, the Minister of Culture must ensure the following. So this is now 5.21. Yeah. You can start there. But must the Minister ensure?
Oh, okay. Just before I read, in the budget proposals, what comes up here and what you would observe is that the increases that the allocations that are provided for water infrastructure, they are well protected and they are the ones that show significant growth. But what we observe from override versus and from MISA, for example, and the way is that there are still problems in terms of implementation and carrying out the infrastructure program, especially with water and sanitation. And then I went to the EG report for the MSMA report for 2013 and the intersection in the EG report that deals with what exactly are the problems with water infrastructure at local government level. And one of the problems is, because I want to cut the recommendations such that it is very specific, that they aren't setting the targets that are smart in terms of what needs to be done in this year, how many projects need to be completed, and so on. So this is the background to this recommendation. I will read it now. 5.21. Corporate Governance and Traditional Affairs, together with the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation, National Treasury, South African Local Government Association, Statistics South Africa, develop systems and mechanisms aimed at improving local government infrastructure performance with specific focus on the following. Effective planning, the provision of water and sanitation infrastructure services, the setting of measurable targets in the provision of water and sanitation infrastructure services, the development of automated monitoring and reporting systems that ensure quality non-financial performance information. This supported the development of guidelines for effective planning in rolling out road infrastructure and building credible data information systems within municipalities, especially with regards to service delivery program outputs and infrastructure program outputs.
Okay, that's the recommendation to the Minister of Kota, Wendy.
Yes, can I just ask at the end there that there didn't be deleted and that you put behind it and water and sanitation, because for example the setting of measurable targets and norms and standards is the responsibility of the National Department of Water and Sanitation.
Yeah, sorry, where are you, Wendy?
If we can just ask the statistics of Africa and water
and
sanitation.
So we must add that government. What time sanitation? Okay. You've got it back? Okay. Yes, on the room.
I don't know if the appropriate to add on the either the Department of Education Council ensure or compliance or in terms of the strategic sense that these project issues are implemented, if not to ensure their consequences, because they go through.
We can capture it in the part of our work. Unless, what would you want us to phrase that?
Chair, my concern is that while intentions are good, but there is no consequences on the ground, and we're not ensuring that these people do comply with law. And I don't know, maybe we should just maybe study talk with ABC to these departments that they need to ensure that there is compliance on the ground, there is implementation, that it, and they even if there isn't, that needs to be reported accordingly so there are consequences for them. Maybe that might just encourage them to develop.
Can we do a 5.22 and capture that split? That's something they said that the Minister of Court should ensure that these consequences to performance or non-implementation of this. So they just come up with a sentence for them, which might be 5.22, but all these are 5.21. Honourable Member.
Thank you, Chair. Bullet points 1 and 2. 1 talks about banning and 2 talks about taking measurable targets. Water and sanitation. We're not actually pushing for implementation, pushing for the actual provision of water. Our emphasis seems to be again on the planning and setting of targets. It doesn't sound like we intend finishing the job anytime soon. We're still involved in planning and setting targets. Can't we try and emphasize the fact that this has happened, we're 30 years down the line and we still haven't complied with the basic constitutional mandate. I think it really is time we sort of emphasize that. So these jobs must be done and completed now. Thank you.
Okay, how do we capture that?
If I could make a suggestion, in the first bullet point, I think the planning and implementation.
Effective planning and implementation.
Something like ensure and I like implementation. And then the second bullet point, if we can say, not in setting of measurable targets, but attainable outcomes.
Setting measurable targets and
attainable outcomes. We must have an item of completion.
Attainable outcomes. Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
The provision of this year.
We must have say effective planning, monitoring and implementation. Because otherwise it comes through the last one month and they can do it,
effective planning,
monitoring and implementation.
You don't monitor after implementation. You don't monitor before. Planning, implementation, monitoring. Not that way.
Okay, why I'm saying monitoring, because while they claim, you've got to monitor that they are proceeding these things and timelessly and ensuring it's implemented.
Okay. Agreed. They must plan, will monitor. The minister must make sure they plan, monitor and implement. The drafters will try and capture it and then we'll get it to them. the spirit is captured. Until the spirit. Until something is captured. Capture the spirit. Leave the problem to that. yes.
One more issue. And I don't know how we should capture it. The effort is also on localization. I say this because we found the Eastern Cape power pipe that was imported from China. And I don't know that we don't have pipes that we can get from, I mean, locally. That's the first thing. But the second thing, importing things from outside further adds to delays in the attainment of the targets. Now, one argument that you would hear says that we are importing because the pipe is cheap or whatever other item is cheaper in China. But clearly there is government policy on localization. It doesn't say that yes, localization, but if the item is too expensive, they get it from somewhere else. It says localization in order to grow domestic manufacturing and domestic jobs and domestic economy. Mm. That's the basis. Thanks, Jim.
Okay, suppose that we can capture that, in fact, let's capture that under 5.16, where we're saying that National Treasury partnership with Department of Public Works, business, small business, will promote efficiency, blah, blah, blah. Utilization of small businesses, and we add another bullet in about localization. Have you looked at that? How would you say that?
The
spirit. You've captured the spirit. Localization. It's essentially to emphasize that.
Yeah.
We must procure goods and services. Because that will also help strengthen our own manufacturing base if we procure local goods. We'll capture it there. Honorable, I think.
Yeah, in an extended case, you need to change that to three things. The 5.1.6, the last line there before the bullet, it must be aimed at two focus on three things.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. The purple capture that. Before you add another
one, I'm not sure whether it's going to be relevant, but it's just one for observation, you know, oversight in any event. The issue of value for me, in terms of especially with these infrastructure, water, sanitation and things, because one of the, we picked up in one particular work, I think the money spent was 69 Rand maximum, but they claimed 300,000 Rand. 69 Rand maximum they spent, 300,000 Rand is what he claimed and was paid. And more than that, they knew we were coming. The guy was very honest. He told us, I only submitted it because we were told that national government was coming, so we submitted it to them. So I don't know where we took the issue of.
We captured it. It's an oversight report. Okay, that's fine. Researcher, are you okay? Why are you not smiling?
We have said that we just wanted to say no issues that are raised by Honorable Shigma at least that we know that report. So they are thoroughly outlined there. So deliberately paid the report today as it is to be big set.
Okay, the researchers are happy. National Treasurer, are you happy? Or are you not smiling?
Because we came off the to be fair, actually, it was added on Department 2 because we talked about planning, we're talking about monitoring and implementation, and the setting of norms. So we can actually add to make something, including ensuring value for money.
Value for money will be added. Ensuring value for money. Budget office, you are fine. You are still drafting your section. Okay, you will see it 5.30. Honorable members, the honorable members, this draft report will be reworked accordingly this afternoon. When we meet tomorrow, we hope to have the version as we discussed today so that we can then adopt the report and then we send it to the presiding office tomorrow. What time is it? 10 o'clock. So maybe what we can do, once the team is done, they can send a draft to us this evening, so that by the time we come, we'll have read it. So we don't like people reading things first. No sense like reading. We want to read ourselves. Any other thing? Should I close the meeting? Is there something? Okay. Honorable Sikh.
Sir, clarification on the debate on Thursday. Do you have any idea how long the debate is going to be?
If I recall, I think it is 94 minutes. I know the ANC at 37. DA? We don't know. Just like, but it will be like last year. I don't know how much time you had. Yeah, something like that. I did indicate the area before you came, but should there be changes, we will let everybody know tomorrow. But for now, let's prepare for the debate. Tempo, you want to say something?
I just wanted to say that the report will be sent to the members, all changes that were highlighted will be underlined, so that it's easy for, it's easy for readers, yeah.
We'll be more than happy. Randy, anything? So you look at me like you are.
No.
You're not worried. Darren, any announcements? Where are we meeting tomorrow at 10? Same here. Okay, honorable members, thank you very much. We worked so hard today. Very, very hard. We want to ensure that what goes to the house is the product of our labor. We don't want to report that will shock us. we can own it once a day. We'll say yes, we know about this. And I can see the team is very happy that we know sentence by sentence of this report. It's our report. Thank you very much. We'll meet tomorrow at 10 to finalize it and then send it to the presiding office. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
I'll be sure to carry out.